The Marvel Cinematic Universe is a collection of movies that are loosely based on the Marvel comic books. I'm Junior.
And I'm Marcus.
Let's talk about it.
All right, so,
and then 2013 happened, right? Because you're like, Joss Whedon was like, where do we go from here? And it's like, so, 2013, they made a really awesome budget. They got billions and billions of dollars from...
Buku bucks. Money on money.
Right from that movie. So what do they do? Okay, let's use our best character. Like, our character that, you know, started it all. We're going to get to their story first. So they go to Iron Man 3. And who do they give the ability to write this movie? Shane Black. Shane Black, who's known for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and a bunch of other, like, dark comedy kind of movies, right? Yeah. And it... You know, okay, Iron Man 3 is one of my favorite MCU movies. Let me just start by saying that. Okay, it is one of my favorites, and I'm one of the few people that defends this movie because a lot of dumb things happen in it. But I will say, what were they thinking? Just giving Shane Black full, like, you can full creative control to make this movie. Because, like, so this movie addresses the Avengers, obviously, yeah. Right? Every movie after this movie addresses the Avengers. All of them. Okay? So... Like, Tony Stark is suffering from PTSD and from the portal and stuff like that. And that kind of kickstarts his whole obsession with making suits. And that's why he's like, up to Mark 42.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, I can't stop making these suits because, like, I need to protect the world. And he's, like, really losing his mind. And I love that. I love that about Iron Man 3. And then there's, like, this terrorist, the six rings?
Something like the six rings.
Yeah, which is a reference to the Mandarin, but also, or no, it's not, but it's a reference to the terrorist organization from the first movie. I did not notice that until rewatching.
God, you're right.
It's the same terrorist organization from the first movie. Yeah, I know. It's a funny callback that, like, if you don't think about it, you won't realize it. But yeah, it's the same terrorist from the first movie.
That's insane.
But you know what makes it even dumber? If it is the same terrorist organization, okay, like, this is a completely full of spoilers review, in case you were wondering. And we're only on phase two.
Yeah.
Here's what makes it dumb. Aldrich Killian, who is that white dude, the what's his name? Ooh. The guy from Memento. Guy Leary? Guy something. Guy Pierce.
Okay.
Yeah, he played Aldrich Killian, and Aldrich Killian, he's the guy who's behind the whole Mandarin thing, because the Mandarin is supposed to be the face of this organization, right? Yeah. And the Mandarin is a very popular Iron Man villain in the comics.
Yeah.
And he has magical powers, which is what, like, a lot of my friends were anticipating. Like, oh, snap, we're going to talk about magic now? That's really cool, and it's in an Iron Man movie, cool, and then it's all fake. It's all, like, yeah. Pretend. It's all, and it's like, so this terrorist organization was secretly being run by Aldrich Killian? All the way back in the first Iron Man movie? Or what?
Yeah.
Huh? How come we hadn't heard about the Mandarin until now?
Yeah.
Like, that's the weirdest part about that I never hear anyone who reviews that movie talk about that.
Mandarin,
it's like,
should have been on the news a lot more.
A lot more before, if he's the face of it.
That's actually very interesting.
Yeah, because they're like, obviously making references to, like, Al-Qaeda and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
even as throwaway, like, as, like, a news broadcast that we wouldn't even, like, call into attention, like, mm-hmm. in, like, the Avengers, that would have made the little
That would have worked a bit better, yeah. But, and then there's, like, so Aldrich Killian's crew, right, his whole posse, they're a bunch of people that are, like, amputees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they're using a new serum called
Extremis.
Which was another thing in the comics. Yeah, but Aldrich Killian was not an important character in the comics, which I think is also funny. And another thing we didn't mention, Jarvis, is Tony Stark's trusty AI, his artificial intelligence.
Since Iron Man 1, mind you.
Yeah, sorry we didn't mention that, but that is important that we mentioned that.
It actually is important.
So, what's his name? So Jarvis, right? His Iron Man's AI, his artificial intelligence. He used to be a butler in the comics. Mm. But anyway, so basically Jarvis...
Wait a second.
What?
Isn't Jarvis Howard Stark's butler?
Yeah.
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 In Agent Carter, we'll get there.
Yeah, they ripped his brain out and they put it in a computer machine. Now. Yeah. That's not what happened. Okay, so, right? These terrorists, they become terrorists. The people that Aldrich Killian gives the Extremis to, basically if they get too hot or, I don't know, something stupid, they blow up.
Yeah.
When they die, they blow up. Something like that.
Yeah.
And, like, basically Tony has to stop these guys without using an Iron Man suit because he falls in like Kansas or something. Got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
We'll
he falls somewhere, we'll right? And this kid helps him, and like a lot of people hate that there's a kid named Harley. Yeah. And basically Harley is like, "Hey, Mr. Stark, if you're a genius, why don't you just make stuff?" You know? And that line, oh boy. Oh boy. Genius Tony Stark has to be told by a little kid.
Hey, Tony, you know, you're really known for making stuff.
Yeah, you're not just known as being Iron Man.
Why don't you just make stuff?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
You're a genius, kid!
Eureka!
So then Iron Man goes to a grocery store. He goes to a hardware store.
Yeah.
He goes to a grocery, he's gonna make an eggplant, like, potato gun. But yeah, so... The reason why I am talking about these parts of the movie is because one of the most awesome scenes that everyone seems to hate except me is where Tony Stark breaks in and he like uses guns and all the tech that he created out of regular hardware supplies. And yeah. It's so cool that he gets in and then like his Mark 42 armor flies to him. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to kill you first. Right. Yo, now the more I think about this, Iron Man 3's plot is pretty wild, too, though, because remember they kidnapped the president.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Hijacked Air Force One.
It literally just hit me. I'm like, yeah, because Rhodey's in this movie too. What's he doing? Oh yeah, the president gets kidnapped. Aldrich Killian's plan is insane, and like it all depends too on Maya Hart or Maya something. Maya, yeah. The girl who Tony Stark slept with in the 90s, but also Aldrich Killian is the guy that Tony Stark like ticked off in the 90s.
Yeah,
and it's so random that these two were in the same place at the same time when she was making Extremis years ago, and Tony Stark told her how to make Extremis a real thing. He wrote down the equation on a little piece of paper after sleeping with her and leaving her. And it's like, oh my gosh. And then the way the movie ends, Tony Stark summons all of his suits, and then he like fights Aldrich Killian's people with no face, and they don't matter. And then Pepper gets the Extremis thing put in her.
Yes, she
does. And then she gets surgery to get it removed.
Removed, yes.
And then Aldrich Killian... Look, it's easier to summarize this movie than it is to talk about it. There's too many jokes.
Iron Man 3 is, as you said, it's one of your favorite MCU movies.
Oh, yeah, I love this movie.
For me, it's one of my favorite MCU movies, but not as, like... an MCU movie. I don't watch, like, when I watch Iron Man 3 attached to the MCU, I watch Iron Man 3 every Christmas. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies, just like Die Hard. It's one of those Christmas movies you don't realize it's a Christmas movie, but it is because it's so heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tony Stark just working from bare bones,
yep,
from nothing to get back everything, and mm-hmm. then once he has everything, he doesn't want it anymore.
Yeah. He sacrifices it all.
Throws it all away. And then for Pepper.
And that gets retconned in the next movie.
100%.
But what's also interesting is that Tony Stark gets the arc reactor taken out of his chest.
Yes.
That was the one that surprised me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's why I said, like, they just gave Shane Black complete creative control. They just gave it to him.
Yep.
Okay, so...
Tony Stark has a heart.
Yeah. You know, the one thing about this movie, yeah, sometimes it's a bit too jokey when it's, like, a really serious thing, because it's, like, Tony Stark gives his address to a terrorist.
Yeah.
And he doesn't set up any defenses at all.
Zero.
None.
Oh, another thing about this movie being jokey is the head terrorist, the Mandarin, I know he's just the face of the group, but he's literally, he's comedy.
Yeah.
They made terrorism comedy. Like,
oh my gosh. Like, and that ruins so many things about that.
So much.
Especially because it's the name of a main Iron Man villain, too, mm-hmm. that they used. Mm-hmm. If it was like, I don't know, Titanium Man, no one would care.
No one would care.
Hi. yeah.
But, 100%. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's actually very funny.
Yeah, and I like that Tony and Rhodey team up in this movie.
Yeah.
There's not enough of that.
No.
In any of the movies.
You gotta love watching War Machine and Iron Man team up.
Seriously.
And the end of Iron Man 2 is
awesome.
One of the best scenes
in that whole entire video game.
The Japanese gardens and all these robots and back-to-back Iron Man and War Machine.
The setting is cool, too.
Yeah, no, Iron Man 2 is weird. It looks cool, but it's not...
Yeah, man. And Iron Man 3 looks good, too.
Yeah, Iron Man
3 actually does. Like,
I loved them fighting in the snow.
Yeah.
Like, when he crash lands in Kansas or whatever, and...
He's in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he's, like, going into bars and stuff like that. And remember, too, the the scene, the one, the first MCU scene, the first MCU scene, unless you count Iron Man 1, but, like, hear me out. The first MCU scene where a hero saves people. Remember when the plane blows up?
Oh, yeah.
It's not about Iron Man punching people or, like, killing people. He just has to rescue them.
Yeah, it's just and to it's save
like,
them.
How come we haven't had a single scene like that until this movie? How many movies? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 movies. And then we finally have a hero saving people.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. But then what's weird, really weird is that he's, like, doing it from his mind, like, way out on a boat, which makes no sense. There's so many things wrong with that.
Remote-controlled
Iron Man. Yeah, but then a truck hits it and it falls apart. It's like, so how did you stay apart through that entire battle? What?
He was flimsy the whole time. If anyone hit him, he would have fell apart. But that's the thing. He was all mental. He's like, look, if I think that they can't hit me, they won't hit me.
If I think they can't hit me, they won't hit me. Okay. We're still in 2013. Thor the Dark World. This movie sucks.
It's horrible.
It's one of the worst MCU movies.
Thor Dark World is actually probably the most boring MCU movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most boring? Yes.
Hands down.
Most boring? Yes. It's not the worst.
No.
But it's the most boring.
Hands down.
Okay. So, real talk? We'll talk about a few things.
Yeah. I don't really want to go too much.
Okay. Fandral, one of the Warriors Three, is played by a different actor in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice?
Why would I?
No one did.
Why would I?
Okay.
Why would I notice it on any of them?
For real.
The Asian guy. He's the only one that talks, I swear to God.
Ho-Gun?
Yeah.
And Sif, yeah. And Volstagg is the bearded one?
Yeah, the big guy.
Wow. I remember their names. Okay, so... here's the thing that blew my mind. Okay, so Curse is a Thor villain that I actually am familiar with because of Ghost Rider.
Yes.
Right? I don't think they, like, I think it was, like, some big crossover with a bunch of characters, but I remember seeing Curse in that, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Like, he's, like, this big monster. He's this big yellow monster. This big yellow and red monster, right?
Mm.
And I remember seeing in the credits after this movie was done, it's like, so-and-so as Curse. Where was Curse? And then it hit me. I'm like, are you kidding me? That big, ugly, gray thing was Curse? Like, that was supposed to be Curse?
The thing that got destroyed?
Yeah. It had the little horns at the side. So you don't even... Dude, right? No, anytime I tell people that Curse is in this movie, comic book fans are like, really? Where?
Oh, wait. Are you talking about the guy that,
He, like, stabs himself with something and then he turns into something. Yeah,
the Extremis. Not the Extremis. But, sorry, wrong movie. The
Kool-Aid.
Yeah, the red Kool-Aid. Thank you.
No, the ether.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Also, good that you remembered that, because I would have skipped right over the ether.
Yeah, the ether.
What even does the ether do? The space stone lets you teleport.
Yes.
Okay, the Mind Stone controls minds.
Minds.
The ether? The reality stone? What does it do exactly? Especially in this movie, you have no idea.
The only time you ever see the Reality Stone do anything cool is in, what's it?
Infinity War.
Infinity War.
That's it.
When Thanos uses it.
Yeah, that's it. And this, Jane Foster drinks it, and it comes out of her nostrils.
Jane Foster goes to Europe after a date.
Uh-huh.
Midway through a date, mind you. To find some floating boxes and stuff. With some kids.
For real though, no, yo.
They start throwing stuff into the air and it goes into a portal.
Yep.
And then Jane Foster walks through the rest of the place and has like this weird epileptic moment where she's in a dark room with a big old box.
See, I remember that.
Touches the extremis, then wakes up outside.
Yep.
And Thor shows up.
This movie, bro. Yeah, I forgot Thor was in this movie.
Thor
the Dark World.
Bro, Thor shows up, and it's like, Jane, you have something bad. Like, Tarzan.
Me, Thor, you, Jane.
Jane, you have bad stuff in you. I take you home. Takes her back to Asgard.
Yeah. And then, like, Jane's, like, the fish out of water now. And then Jane meets Thor's mom.
Yeah, she meets Thor's mom. She meets Sif, no?
I don't even remember.
Yeah, she meets Thor's mom anyways.
Oh my gosh. I've seen this movie once, and it was in theaters.
Anyways, the scene is important. Like,
Tell me something important.
So Thor Dark World, this part is important only because we come back to it when we go back in time.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, because Thor has to meet his mother.
You're right, but also the ether is introduced in it.
Which
sucks. You actually have to watch this one.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't skip. Can you skip Iron Man 3?
You can't skip
Iron
Man
3. All you gotta know is, like, I guess his arc reactor's out, but even then, they never treat it like that's important.
You can pretend that the arc reactor's still in his chest because it looks like it is in most of the movies.
Funny, too, if the arc reactor was still in his chest, the scene in Infinity War Endgame would be even more eventful. When he takes it out and puts it in Cap's hand.
Yeah.
And he's literally ripping out his heart. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd rather die, but anyway.
Thor Dark World, super boring. It's literally just, like, Act 1 is Jane finding stuff. There's no fights. There's no fights other than a flashback of when Odin fought the Dark Elves. That's it. We get to Act 2. Asgard is under siege. People don't remember that. I forgot about it when I watched it happen. Thor drives a
for
ship.
For Asgard. Thor drives
a ship.
Yeah, you're right. And, like, Heimdall, who can see everything, somehow is unable to see the invisible ship flying next to him.
Right next to him and invading the whole city.
Yo. Thor the Dark World sucks. And then Loki cuts off Thor's hand, but he doesn't actually.
Yeah. They go into the Dark Elf place, and they have a plan to trick him.
Malekith?
Trick Malekith. Stupid stuff happens.
Let's move on.
Yeah, we're moving on.
Thor the Dark World sucks.
The Reality Stone.
All right, period. So now we get to our first TV show. Oh my gosh. 2013, and we have the first MCU TV show, Marvel's
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. Right off the bat, let's just start by saying this. Marcus and I, we sat down and we said, when this came out, we were like, we're going to make this our show.
Yep.
We need a show that we watch together and we can talk about. Okay?
Gosh, we were...
And let me just put it this way, all right? First, the episodes are like an hour long, yep. On average. The finales are 2 hours. There's like 22 episodes each season. Okay? And we made it to season 5 and just... this show is... just unforgivably just dull. Just
horribly
so boring. Little happens. Yep. And it's so irrelevant to, like, the movies. Like, no one cares about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the movies.
When me and Junior first started watching Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we were like, oh yeah, we gotta get a show that we both can watch, we can talk about at the same time while we're watching it, etc., etc. It's like, oh yeah, the MCU is coming out with the show. Maybe it's gonna, like, have to do with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah,
wouldn't that
think,
be cool?
You'd
right?
Think, yeah.
And episode after episode, we would sit there and we would just become less and less interested.
Yo.
There were times where the show almost brought us back. Several times.
Several
I
times.
Lie
several
to you.
Times.
Like, I remember, like, episode 6 of season 1.
The Well. Yeah. I still remember the name.
You know?
That's a really good episode. The one where Sif shows up.
Yeah, the one where Sif shows up. Yeah. The only time a Marvel character shows up in the show,
yep.
Other than Nick Fury, at the end of the whole
series. At the
end,
yeah.
Or of this first season. Mm-hmm. Season 2 was okay.
Season 2 was decent, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what helped it was Grant... Ooh. Well, spoiler. Yeah, whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Grant Ward becoming the villain.
Yeah.
And, like, he's the best character.
Yeah, 100%.
So much so that they keep bringing him back. He dies in season 3, and they bring him back in season 4
yep.
as, like, the Hive thing?
Yeah, so they kill them in season 3, right? And then on, like, the weird planet. And
yeah.
Then the Hive goes into him as, like, some next...
Mm-hmm. And then he shows up again in that season.
Yep.
But then in season 4, they have the technology,
yep,
and they go into, like, a different world.
The Ada world,
yeah,
or whatever.
And then Ward's there.
They find him. It's like, why? What was the point? Why did we...
It's
because
every time ratings lower,
you
know Grant
Ward.
Ward's coming back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. I'm, like, debating if we should just make this its own. Like,
we
its
could
own.
Easily,
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. its own part of the
Marvel's
podcast.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as, like, its own episode, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's,
no, I'll figure something
that's
out.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, it gets, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I could, like, YouTube edit this one. if yeah, but yeah, okay, we'll see,
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is an interesting show. Season 1 doesn't really have much to do with anything.
No.
Anything
it's so irrelevant.
It's very irrelevant, but it's there to introduce you to these characters, right, that you don't care about.
Every season.
Yeah, every season.
More characters.
Yeah, in season 2, they add more characters.
Our show
right?
sucks. More characters. Just cram them in.
So then season 3, they add more characters, and it starts to, like, attach, like, the Inhumans.
Oh, okay, okay. I was just going to say, okay, let's talk about the Inhumans.
Yeah.
Because the movie got canceled.
Yeah.
So then they, like, squeezed it into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So then it was season 2 where we got the Inhuman
yeah.
stuff. And then we learned that Sky? is actually Daisy. And she's an Inhuman.
Yep.
And she has the power of Quake, because she's Quake from the comic books.
Yep.
And she, like, becomes really, like, angsty and, like, I work alone. I don't need the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. Yeah. I have superpowers, and right?
She goes off on her own, right?
Yeah. And then, wow. Okay. So hang on. So the Inhuman stuff, right? There's, like, a land full of Inhumans.
Yep.
With, like, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that girl?
Yeah.
Ruth Negga from, Misfits.
Ring!
She played... she played Nikki in Misfits. Okay, so anyone who's seen the show will know why we just made those Sonic references. But yeah, she they kill her, and then she has like a vision that says "Go see Age of Ultron." I remember that. Do you remember that? I remember that. She has a whole vision about Age of Ultron, the movie.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
You remember that? Yeah. Stupidness.
Yeah.
But yeah, they all get Inhuman powers, and then season 3 is the one where like. See, like, I'm like confusing 4 and 3. So 3 is the one where they introduce the other Inhumans, right? So Yo-Yo and Lincoln and
that's 3.
The magma guy.
That's 3 when they fight Ward and he dies.
Right. As the Gambit guy who has a chain but is not Ghost Rider.
Exactly. Yeah. And then season 4
is Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And the Ada world.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Dark Home.
It's very funny.
All the good stuff is in season 4. All
right, so season 4 is very funny because when I watched the recap, this is the one thing I didn't remember the show.
Uh-huh.
I remember season 4. But season 4 starts with like some ghost stuff happening, right?
Yep.
And they're like, oh man, what's going on? And they go find Ghost Rider and everything's like fine, dealt with Ghost Rider, and he goes to hell, right? Midway through the season, and then the Ada stuff starts happening, right?
Yep.
And then they break out of the Ada world, and Ada becomes an Inhuman. She has, like, all these Inhuman powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Follow me. This actually happens.
I don't remember this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then Ghost Rider comes back from hell.
Oh, I remember that.
And stops her.
Yeah.
For no reason. He was gone halfway through the season.
Yeah, why did... Okay, and one thing I thought was actually really cool that I will compliment them with the Ghost Rider thing. So the way Ghost Rider teleports, right? It's the same sling ring effect that Doctor Strange has.
Yeah.
But he uses his chain, and it's like that's a cool way to connect that. Like just universally, that's how you teleport.
Yeah.
And Ghost Rider being a character who's both like supernatural and magic, so like spiritual magic and like magic.
Yeah.
It's cool that that's what they did. But yeah, Ghost Rider does just come out of nowhere and save the day. I remember that. I vividly remember that.
Saves the day, and then after that, they're like, "Well, day is saved. We're gonna get arrested soon. Let's go sit in the diner." And that's how season 4
ends. Oh yeah! And then the cops show up and everything. Bro, that I think, hey, like, I know we remember season 2 being better. Like, I don't even know if season 2 was like great or if it was just better than season 1, right? But season 4, so much like I love it. No, I love just how out of touch they are at that point. No, it's like whatever.
Season 4, they jumped the shark and they just kept jumping sharks.
The minute they introduced Ghost Rider, I remember being like, oh, I hope they don't make him an Inhuman because we've just had three seasons
of Inhumans.
I don't need any more. No one cares about the Inhumans and no one cares about the Kree either. And we'll get to that in season 5.
Yeah.
But when they introduced Ghost Rider, I remember thinking like, are they going to change his origin story? But then they said it was Robbie Reyes. And I'm like, okay, I guess they're not going to change his origin story. And then... I love the scene where Sky or Daisy is like, it's like, oh, you're an Inhuman just like us. He's like, no. It's like, really? What are you? It's like, oh, I just made a deal with the devil. And she's like, what? it's been science all the way up until now.
Through.
And it's like, the devil's real? What? That's what I love most about that season. Like, it is the most detached.
Yeah.
Just like, he has nothing to do with science.
Nah, like, that season, I swear, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just had freedom. They could do whatever they wanted. They put Ghost Rider in, they put the Darkhold in, retconned. Probably both gonna get retconned.
I feel like they were just like, you know what? We're going to get canceled eventually anyway.
Yeah.
Let's just throw everything at it, right?
Yeah.
Because that season did feel the most like an event was happening. Like,
yeah,
all throughout, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that, Ada and Ghost Rider were the same season.
Literally, in that season is the Agents of Hydra thing.
Yep.
Where it's all like, they go into the Matrix mm-hmm. world, and it's like, whoa, Fitch is the leader of Hydra, and yep. everything's all weird and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And then season five,
they're in space.
They're in space.
And Fitz comes and he's Star-Lord.
Yes.
And Fitz comes and he's Star-Lord. What's the season where Emma is in the space weird world? Yeah.
Three.
Three, right?
Yeah. Two is when Fitz's
brain, he has like broke his aphasia yeah. and all of a sudden it just gets healed, yeah. which is like not a thing.
Yeah.
Ever. But I feel bad for Fitz. Like, Fitz is my favorite character of all the agents. It's Fitz. And, like, I know Ward, but Ward's, like, the villain.
Yeah.
But Fitz is my favorite because, like, this man loves Gemma so much. And Gemma just wants to hop on some black guys.
All the time! Gemma just was a
Did you notice that?
Yes.
Did you notice that?
Every black guy that
Every
came
black
in.
Guy, she was just on in that guy.
Gemma!
Oh, and also, I remember Marcus and I made a joke where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had Trip and Mac. There were two black guys. And Marcus and I kept saying, you know one of them's going to die, right? Because you can't have two black guys, yep. obviously. And guess what? We thought it was going to be Mac, though. Do you remember that?
Because Trip was in the show for
yeah,
so long.
And Trip was funny. Like, yeah. you're like, yeah, they're going to keep him around. And then he died.
Yep.
And then Mac was around. And
I had to grow to like Mac. I did, though. Mac is a great character.
This show, can I just say, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has too many characters.
Oh, 100%.
Too many. And what I really hated about this show was how, straight up, they wouldn't introduce some characters. They'd just be there. Like Piper. Remember that
Piper,
one girl?
The short hair girl?
Yep. Yeah. This is like Piper. And then Piper's like, I'm this quirky girl.
Yo.
And it's like, huh?
In the recap of the show that I watched, tell me how her and the other guy are main characters in season 7.
See, I saw that coming, though.
Yeah.
I knew something was going to... Because why else would they just do that?
Like,
but it's dumb that it's like, Piper just shows up. She's just there now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hi, new girl we're supposed to act like has been here the whole time. What?
But yeah, so season 5, they're in space.
Yeah, and they fight the Kree.
They fight the Kree. It turns out that Daisy destroyed the Earth, and they actually travel through time. Or whatever, and they travel back through time to the original time.
Okay, so I remember that.
They try not to destroy the Earth again or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out like there's this other organization that knows about the Earth being destroyed, that's infiltrated the military, and they're trying to stop the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they know that they destroy the world or whatever. Also, before they went back through time, a yo-yo from the past without arms tells Yo-Yo from our present with arms that you need to kill Coulson to save the world or whatever. And then it's like, oh, wow, I wonder when Yo-Yo is going to lose her arms. And the next episode, she loses her arms.
The episode right after? Yeah. They don't
when
even
they
wait?
Back,
they don't even
arms.
Wait?
Yeah, so she loses her arms, and then she gets robot arms. And they fight this one girl who her mom is giving her gravitonium from the first episode to give her, like, powers or whatever. Doesn't really work out or anything. They stop her, but like it's going crazy, and someone has to like contain the gravitonium in them, and then Talbot does it, right? General Talbot.
Okay.
Very funny.
Yeah.
But General Talbot goes on a power trip. He goes crazy.
Oh, really?
And it turns out that this is happening the same time that Thanos is fighting the Avengers, just before
Are
the snap.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No.
Oh my
and
gosh,
like they,
what?
Like they split, they splice scenes, Junior.
Really?
Yes. It's connected. So anyways, all that's going on. They beat Talbot, and then they like someone comes through time, and it's like, we have to go back in time to stop some stuff. Like, they literally have to go through time and stop things so that stuff doesn't happen. And that's all the last season is.
Oh, okay. Can I just say, if you were someone who only watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and not the movies, this would be the most messy, confusing show ever.
Oh, 100%.
Because, like, even... I remember we even said this, like, should you watch Captain America Winter Soldier first or the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode where you learn that S.H.I.E.L.D. is Hydra? Right? Because, like, it's not that big of a deal if you watch one before the other.
No.
Right? But then it's like, okay, you're telling me the snap happened. It's like, oh, no, I forgot. All these are connected. So, obviously, it's going to affect this, too, right?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Okay, but like, overall, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could have been a lot better than it was, and I'm surprised it even made it to 7 seasons.
100%.
Like, personally, I don't think it should have made it that far.
I agree.
I think 4, if anything, let 4 be the last one.
Yeah.
Just end it there.
Season 4 should have been the last one.
Yep. Stop. Just stop. That's enough.
Like, Junior, after they went to space in that diner in season 5, I'm pretty sure you and I checked out at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we did.
Like
season 5. Like, guys, we made it to season 5. That's an accomplishment. We watched that on TV with commercials.
We watched 100 episodes of this show.
Oh, hour my
long show, sometimes gosh. 2 hours with commercials. Yeah, nah.
Oh, my gosh. That show is just... I don't like it.
If you want to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's on Disney+. The whole thing.
Most of these are.
Yeah.
Except The Incredible Hulk and Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man.
Okay, so 2014. Captain America, The Winter Soldier. Okay, so this is my favorite MCU movie. This is actually my number one.
This movie puts a big smile on my face,
bro, because
this is when the Marvel movies started to snap. This
is when they started being good. They had a good win streak.
Good.
A consistent win. Actually, okay, it's weird. It's weird.
Well, yeah.
2014 was a great year for the MCU. It was, because... You know the movie after this one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Captain America the Winter Soldier, right? We saw the first Avenger. Marcus and I, we saw the first Avenger. So we're like, you know what, Marcus? The Captain America series should be the one we watch together.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, we saw the first one together. Let's watch the next one. We were not ready for this movie.
No.
We were not ready to like this movie as much as we did. Because it was, like, a really good espionage movie. There was good action. There was good character growth. Yep. Captain America, the all-American hero, starts to doubt America?
Yeah,
what's
exactly.
going on,
exactly.
man?
Nah, it's so
and
much fun.
Only for it to turn out that S.H.I.E.L.D. is Hydra. That is such a big change for the entire MCU.
The whole reveal?
The like, whole thing. And, woo. Like, bro, here's the other thing. Okay, one criticism I have about the whole MCU is that there's very little lasting effects of anything.
Yeah.
Anything, okay? And I'll get more into detail of that when we get to phase 3, because phase 3 is where it really starts to show, like, obviously. But, dude, the S.H.I.E.L.D. reveal was, like, the biggest... No one saw that coming.
No, if you... I don't know how you could have saw that. It's
honestly.
It's impossible. It's
no,
impossible.
Because you're like, they're not going to do something like that.
No, you
you're like, you Avengers know, is coming out. There's another Avengers movie coming soon.
The only
soon.
Way you could predict it is if you're all like, oh, yeah, so, you know, Captain America is a part of Hydra now in the comics.
I don't even think that happened yet.
Yeah, I don't think that
I
happened
yet. I think that was
Age
of Ultron around the time that happened.
You would have to be a time traveler.
Yeah, for real. You'd have to be a time traveler.
You couldn't predict it.
No. No one saw that coming. And, like... It was handled so well, man. What I love about this movie, too, is that it's three characters. It's Black Widow, Falcon, and
Captain America
saving the world.
Yeah.
It's just, and like, I guess Fury, too. But, like, it's just
three. You have to include Fury because he has a sick car scene.
Oh, he does.
That car scene is sick.
Yeah, and that's where we're introduced to Crossbones. We're introduced to
Bucky. Well,
the Winter Soldier. And you know another funny thing that's actually really great about this movie? And I remember telling my friends this as like, because people were like, yo, the Winter Soldier was so cool. I'm like, the character or the movie? They're like, the character. I'm like, Bucky sucks in this movie. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He's just there.
He's just the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, he's just a physical threat. The threat is actually Hydra. And I remember that blowing my mind, that it's like, yo, the guy advertised in the like all the advertisements, he's not the main threat.
Yeah.
He's not. Like, legit, if you took the Winter Soldier out of this movie, not much of it would be different.
No, it's crazy.
It wouldn't be that
it's
different.
It's crazy how they hid the Hydra thing.
Yeah.
They literally
called
it. Because
everything was, oh, look, Bucky's back.
Soldier.
That's
yeah.
like this genius, man.
Yeah, nah.
That was just, oh my gosh. And Falcon is introduced in this, and they do a good job of just, like, establishing why they'd be friends and stuff like that.
First time we hear On Your Left.
On Your Left, yeah, at the beginning. There's a funny scene where he tells Captain America, like, a movie to watch, and then Captain America pulls out this list
of all these stuff that he needs to catch up on.
Which includes Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because in the prequels, Samuel L. Jackson plays Mace Windu.
Mace Windu.
So, if Cap watches those, he's gonna be real confused. Isn't that Fury? So, I love the movie.
Yeah, no.
I have nothing else to say about this movie. It's great. There's a bit too much shaky cam. I guess that's all I'd say as a criticism.
Yeah. Captain America Winter Soldier is one of those movies that I don't want to recap because I feel like everyone should watch it.
Yeah. Go
I
check,
feel like
honestly.
This is one of those movies that you all should watch.
You know what's funny? We haven't recommended any of them yet. And honestly, this is where I'd start recommending.
Yeah.
If you're not a fan, if you're not a fan of superhero movies, this is a great one.
Do you like action movies, Sonny?
Right? Yeah.
Do you like spies? Do you like cars blowing up?
Because, like, I'll tell you, I've given this movie to people that are like, I hate superhero movies. I'm like, no, it's not a superhero movie. Like, yeah. just watch it.
No, like,
and they all love it.
There's so much cool about Captain America Winter Soldier.
Honestly, and it's not bad as its own movie, too, because they still kind of give a recap of the first one. Mm-hmm. They do a good job. But okay, so in the first movie, Captain America rides a motorcycle, he pushes a button, and it destroys the helicopter in front of him. In this movie, there's another scene that is identical. Captain America is on a motorcycle, and then this jet flies in front of him. And what does he do? He throws a shield, and he jumps on the jet, and he like does all this acrobats, and then he destroys the jet himself. And I really wanted to point that out, because one of my close friends said that to me. Mm. And she was like, hey, isn't it cool how this is what Captain America's supposed to be like? Where the first movie got that wrong? And yeah. It's like, that's so true. I didn't notice that for years, but it's great.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we go from my favorite MCU movie to 2014's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, chab. Let me sit up. I used to tell people that Captain America Winter Soldier was my favorite MCU movie, but it wasn't until recently that I had rewatched all of them, and I realized that Guardians of the Galaxy is my favorite Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. It's fun from the start. It's just great. It's great. It's got great music.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a heart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, it's got good characters.
No, for real.
The character building is fantastic. The Infinity Stone in the movie is actually in the movie.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, the Power Stone. Yeah,
yeah. Like,
okay,
just good.
Bro, this movie. Okay, I went into this theater, Marcus.
Oh yeah.
I didn't see this with Marcus, but Marcus said to me when the trailers came out, I was so ready for this movie to fail.
Yeah,
I was ready.
Junior,
I
was like,
bro, okay. Everyone's going to hate me for this, but I don't like James Gunn's directing or his writing. Yeah. I really don't. His directing's not bad. Like, when he's just the director and he, like, moves. Usually he's not just the director, though.
Yeah.
I don't really like his writing. I'm not a fan of it. And I don't know if he wrote this entire script himself. If he did, kudos, because this is it's not as James Gunn feeling as most of his other movies. And Guardians Volume 2 is very much a James Gunn. And it's like, here's all the things I hate about him in one movie.
Yeah.
But, or about his writing. Okay, and when I saw James Gunn's writing this, I'm like, oh, dude, this might not be good. I don't really like his movie.
He kept telling me this.
It's like, oh, Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, I read a couple of their comics, and I'm like, dude, like, none of them are that interesting. Maybe Rocket Raccoon. Remember when Rocket Raccoon was Australian? What happened to that? That's another weird thing. Remember when he was Australian? Remember when Black Widow was Russian?
Yeah.
What happened in the Widow everyone's American in the MCU? Anyway, I was like, dude, I don't know, man. Rocket Raccoon's cool. I guess that's why I'll check it out. Like, Star-Lord has... In the comics, Star-Lord was just some... He was like Captain America, but he was much more of a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I remember. And his son was Jason. His dad was Jason. And Jason always seemed way more interesting to me.
Yeah.
Like, even reading it, it's like, yo, he's like, he beat up a guy, an astronaut, just to go to space.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, he's like, no, you're too much of a loose cannon. And it's like, okay. And I was so ready to hate this movie. I went into the theater, watched the movie, walked out. I'm like, I don't know, man. The movie wasn't all that, you know? I was just like, there was too much of just this, we go here, we go here. Too
don't
much,
you guys
too many
love,
jokes, blah,
don't
blah,
you guys
blah, blah.
Love when someone is so adamant about hating a movie?
And then, bro, I got home and I sat down and I thought of it. And I'm like, darn it, I love the movie.
It was great. It was
so good. Yeah,
I remember when the trailers were coming out.
Oh.
Junior kept saying, "Yeah, no, I don't know if this is gonna be good. Like, I don't like the writer. Like, this, it's something's off about it. Like, what? Like, these characters I've never even heard.
No one cares about these.
And
guys.
I was just like, Junior, that's the thing. No one's heard of them. This is that you have such an open slate. Like, this movie it had nowhere else to go but
it's
up.
True. It's true.
Like, it could have failed." It really could have failed
yeah.
If, like, the writing was bad or whatever, right? But because we don't know anything about any of these people.
Yeah, their characters were fine. Like, and it's funny, because, like I said, I had read the comp. Like, I've read a few of them before that movie, right? Mm. I knew who Star-Lord was, I knew who Drax was, I knew who Gamora was, and I knew who Rocket Raccoon was. I only knew Groot was just the plant that said, Groot. I am Groot.
Yeah.
That's all I knew.
Yeah.
The other thing about this movie, right? Because before this movie, all we had was, like, Thor as a movie that didn't take place on Earth.
Take place on Earth,
but
yeah.
he still went to Earth.
Yeah.
This whole movie, man, there's, like, 5 seconds of Earth. like Earth a minute
for the intro.
Yeah, that's it. The rest of the movie's in space, and that was another reason why I thought it was gonna fail. I'm like, Marvel hasn't done anything cosmic yet. But honestly, man, this movie's soundtrack carries it too, because it's telling a story in many ways, yes. Right? And like Peter Quill's connection to music and stuff, like, because like Star Lord is like my third favorite MCU character. Number one is Iron Man. Number two is Doctor Strange. And then number four is Mantis. And I say that because that matters. It does. I love Mantis so much. Yeah, Star-Lord, right? Kind of this idiot guy. That's what shocked me about that. I remember the introduction being like, yeah, what's Star-Lord's personality going to be like?
Yeah.
Because the trailer didn't really tell us. It only showed us that, like, people don't know who he is. And it's like, okay, does he have an ego? Like, what are we going with? And it's like, oh, he's a man-child. It's like, we haven't had a character like that yet.
Nope.
And I remember that shocking me. I'm like, if
it's very funny.
That was one thing. Like, yeah, that was one thing that I really digged, even though when I was like in denial, right? I did like that. That it's like, oh, okay. No, yeah, sure. Like, this is a better interpretation, like a different way to make him.
Star-Lord is one of the only MCU heroes that would go back just for his Walkman.
Yep.
You know, like there's so much character to it. Like, all the characters in Guardians of the Galaxy just ooze character.
Except Gamora.
Except for Gamora. Gamora doesn't really have
any character. You know what? Okay, one of my criticisms when I left the theater, and I still hold true to this, in the comics, the original Gamora, okay? Because now, the one thing I hate about this movie, I actually hate about this movie, all the comics versions of Guardians of the Galaxy has been completely erased.
Yeah.
Like, all the past versions, just gone. Like, it's like, Star-Lord has always been like this. It's like, no, he hasn't.
That's crazy,
right? And
though.
Then Gamora has always been like this. Like, I like the original Gamora way better. She was a savage.
Yeah.
Her whole thing was she was a warrior, and she didn't understand how to have a regular conversation with the person. She just knew war. Person. That's all she knew. And it's like, why didn't they make that her? That'd be funny.
Like,
why didn't they make that her character? It's so weird that they didn't do that. Also, Nebula's in this. And Nebula's great in this, too. She becomes even better later on but because I never cared for Nebula in the comic. Who's Nebula? Ugh.
Honestly, Nebula only existed to be Thanos' daughter, just like Gamora in the comics.
Yeah,
and be in the Infinity War timeline or comic book storyline. That's it.
I also really didn't like Chris Pratt's acting the first time I saw it, and there's a few lines that when I rewatch it, I come to it and I'm always like, "Yo, was that the first take?" Right, like he's like, whoa, who's Yondu? Or like, and it's just, it's so weird. It's like, that's such weird delivery.
Like, why did he deliver
there's
that
a
so
few
strange?
Lines. There's a few lines in that first movie that I'm just like, why is Chris Pratt doing it this way? I know he's an actor. What's going on here?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Just a few lines. But yeah, no.
And that's
great.
That's another weird thing about that movie. Chris Pratt was a weird grab. Very weird grab at the time.
Yeah, Parks and Recreation.
That's
he was the fat guy.
Biggest thing.
He was a chubby guy.
He was Andy Dwyer on Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Interesting and then after choice. That, he Jurassic World, all the Guardians movies. Like it's kind of weird how they just picked him up.
Yep.
He didn't look like Star-Lord.
No.
Not at the time when they picked him up. He was heavy.
Oh yeah.
He was
and
heavy.
He really made that role his own.
Yeah.
And like even Batista, bro.
Yeah.
That was the one that I think no one saw coming. Batista, where it's like a wrestler. Right, a wrestler, someone who, like, because the acting is very different in wrestling than it is in a movie. So apparently he took a lot of acting classes to, like, get really good at that and stuff like that.
Yeah, gotta give a shout-out to Vin Diesel for in the mocap suit.
I am Groot.
Gotta give a shout-out to Vin Diesel in the mocap suit because...
Groot. You know he did every language?
Really?
Yep. Every translation of that movie, it's still him.
Oh,
he only has a couple words.
It says, I am Groot.
Yep, in different yeah, in different ways, too. But
je m'appelle Groot.
Yeah.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Groot.
Actually, je m'appelle is my name is. It would be je suis Groot.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, I love that though. Je suis. Like he has an accent for some reason.
Je suis Groot. But yeah, Guardians is my favorite MCU movie.
That movie's great.
Yeah,
it still holds up very well, even as its own movie.
I will recommend everyone to watch that one as well. That and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, and guess what? They came out the same year.
Yeah, that's really crazy,
right? Yeah, and then what came out after that? 2015's Avengers: Age of Ultron. If you thought Iron Man 2 was messy,
Junior, yo, do you remember how hyped we were for Age of Ultron because of Guardians and Winter Soldier?
I don't.
You don't remember how hyped
I don't
we were?
Remember us being hyped.
Oh, we were hyped as heck.
Are you serious?
All we would do was talk about Avengers Age of Ultron.
Really?
We would just sit there texting each other like, oh, this is going to happen in the movie. This is going to happen in the movie.
Dude.
You don't remember that?
I don't.
Yo, we were hyped.
I must have been so disappointed. I just presented.
You forgot it.
Shut up. I don't want to talk about this movie.
Nah, bro. We were so hyped because we thought
We just saw two awesome movies.
We just saw two awesome movies. Avengers came out prior.
Uh-huh.
We both enjoyed Iron Man 3. We're like, Marvel cannot fail.
Yeah.
And then they failed.
Oh, they dropped the ball in this. And you know what the biggest problem with Age of Ultron is? Ultron. Okay. James Spader did a good job for the voice. I like the voice.
Oh, I like the voice of Ultron, too.
And here's the thing. This guy on YouTube, Nando V Movies. Now, I don't completely agree with his idea on what to do with Ultron, but he made one point that I completely agree with. You want to know how to make Ultron a really good villain? Mm. Don't let him kill anybody. Because his whole point, Ultron's whole point is
everybody.
You guys are all killers.
Yeah.
And you call yourselves heroes. You're all hypocrites.
Yeah.
Right? But then he himself is a hypocrite because by killing people. So it's like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
If he didn't kill people, if he was able to prove his point and get his goals across without murdering a single person, that'd be so much more interesting.
Yeah.
Especially because here's another thing that's interesting about Ultron that it's just kind of there. They just kind of put this out here. So this is an artificial intelligence that's created by Tony Stark to protect the world because Tony Stark, I see a suit of armor around the world. He's still suffering from PTSD, right?
Yeah.
Also, obviously, blew up his suits in Iron Man 3, just brings them back because, like, why not?
Yeah.
You know, I can't put down the suit, which is what said later. But Age of Ultron, right? Ultron is created as a way to protect the world. And they're like, yo, let's make this computer, which is Dr. Banner and Tony Stark. And it's like, okay, cool. And then they make it. And then it takes Ultron 2 seconds of surfing through the web to realize, I need to destroy this place, man. That's another thing I think is pretty funny. Right away.
Yeah.
Just right away. This place sucks. But yeah. But yeah, Ultron kills Jarvis. So, Ultron, right? Isn't it interesting that this artificial intelligence that hasn't been born for very long, right? And, like, you know, is supposedly devoid of emotion, or and I wish he was. I wish he was more of a robot.
It's unfortunate that he isn't.
I know. He's too human. Yeah, why are you cracking jokes, bro?
Sense.
And then it's like, oh, it's because he was created by Tony Stark. It's like, oh, he was also created by Dr. Banner. Where's that part of him?
Yeah.
Shouldn't
there be two conflicting ideologies inside its mind?
Be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
no. And he's always mad at Stark. It's like, Stark didn't just make you by himself. But yeah. What I think is hilarious, right? Well, not hilarious, but I think it's good. It's good, but they don't do anything with it. Here's a robot that, you know, could have been devoid of emotion or, like, you know, no feelings. You know, he's not a human and stuff like that, and he desires to be a human, but he's also religious. And it's like, that's what surprised me. A religious robot.
That's true.
But what if he was a pacifist?
Yeah.
How much more cool would that be? It's like, no. I don't kill because good guys don't kill.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, what? But I guess the whole thing is like his motivation would have to change at the end because he wants to, like, throw a comet into the Earth, right? And, like, wipe out all of humanity.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because what's Thanos' motivation? To wipe out half of all living things, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting how Ultron... And then what's Thanos' endgame? Wipe out all of everything. And
yeah.
It's kind of funny that Ultron was thinking about it earlier.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that Ultron is like a religious robot, but they do nothing with it. Nothing at all.
Where did he get his religion from? Internet?
Right? Yeah, the internet. But isn't it interesting that he clings to it?
Yeah.
And it's like, of all the things, like, I thought that was so interesting. It's like, oh, okay, where are we going to go with this? Nowhere.
It has to be like a god complex or something.
Right, and that's what they go with, but I wish they didn't. I wish they didn't go that direction, because that's too obvious. There's so many stories of that. It'd be so cool, like, here's a robot and he believes in God. And it's like, no, like, I want to fix humanity because we're capable of more than that. And it's like, whoa, this would be an interesting villain. It'd be a villain with enough depth that you can sympathize with him. But you can't sympathize with Ultron at all in this movie.
No, you can't.
Not at all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's so, yeah, Ultron, oof.
Honestly. And then, okay, and then you have the twins. You have Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. And just a year before this, we had Quicksilver in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Pietro.
And everyone preferred that one, played by the other guy. It's okay, who cares? But yeah, there's a reason I mentioned that.
Really?
Okay, so it's literally the same thing. This Avengers movie, remember everything that happened in the first movie? It happens again.
Yeah.
Hours of them bickering.
Yep.
People getting mind controlled.
Yep.
What is it? Ultron gets the Mind Stone. We didn't even get a new stone in this. We didn't.
No, because it's the same one from
Loki. And then at the end of the other Avengers, Thanos looks at the camera. At the end of this Avengers, fine, I'll do it myself. Another Thanos cameo. Hulk gets angry and the gang has to stop him, just like in the first movie when he was on the ship. But Iron Man stops him in a suit.
Hulkbuster armor.
Yeah.
Yo, this after Iron Man 3, they were really selling toys. That's
bro, this whole movie feels like a commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines in this movie though is when Captain America is about to fight Ultron and he's on the walkie-talkies, the weird Bluetooths that they have.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm about to engage with the subject, and then Hawkeye is like, you're no match for him, Cap. And then Captain America's like, thanks, Barton. And it's like, no, for real though. Like, just like,
you're no match for him, Cap. You trying to be with arrows in your head?
Yeah.
Who? What?
What? Gee, thank you. I loved that line.
Yeah, that's very
and that
funny.
Is all I have to say. What do you want to say? Ultron's the biggest problem. Like, everything else is like, it's more Avengers.
No, yeah. Age of Ultron is a weird movie. Especially how all the characters are acting with each other. Like, was there ever a point where Black Widow and the Hulk were ever, like...
Oh, that comes out of nowhere. Yeah. Forgot about that.
Complete left field.
Joss Whedon being Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon, yeah. It's a random scene that could have easily stayed in the commercials. People trying to pick up the hammer. Funny. It's cool. And whatever, but could have easily stayed in the commercials.
Best scene in this movie.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's the best scene.
If they didn't put it in the commercials, maybe I'd like it more.
Probably. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I literally seen everyone try to lift up that hammer about 700 times before the movie came out.
True.
And that kind of amped me up because that scene was great.
And remember, we were trying to predict who would actually
lift
it.
Because
we all knew the only reason this scene's gonna be here is because someone's gonna pick it up. And then lo and behold, it was Vision.
Yeah.
Who's Jarvis?
Yeah,
in this
Vision picks it up, and oh yeah, Vision's made in this movie. Did we talk about that?
Who cares?
Yeah. anyways, to sum it all up, Ultron dies. Pietro dies. Wanda lives.
How does Ultron die? He does, but isn't that weird? Aren't you an artificial intelligence that can surf through the internet?
Yeah, this
it's like, oh, Vision cancels him out of the internet, and it's like, what? Vision does what? Sorry, what?
Vision, you're gonna have to. You're not the chill Vision. Yeah. I mean, like, you're, like... Mm.
Ulysses Klaue is also in this.
Yes, Ulysses.
And he comes back in Black Panther.
Yeah, he loses his arm in this.
Yeah. And he loses his arm because he just compared Ultron to Iron Man, and Ultron gets mad and cuts his arm off by accident.
Never compare me to my dad!
Literally, he's just a spoiled brat. It's dumb. Yeah, it's dumb. Really that dumb. Movie... Ah!
But hey, look, they introduced vibranium, guys. Like, hey,
what do you mean? Captain America introduced vibranium.
Oh, that's true. The shield's made of vibranium.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
All right, Ant-Man. First Ant-Man. Okay, so this movie, right? We're still in 2015. This movie, I went into theaters. I didn't know what to expect because I was like, well, you know what? Guardians of the Galaxy it surprised me. Maybe this one will too. I hated this movie when it first came out.
I want you to know, Junior.
What?
Before you went to see that movie, did I tell you anything about Ant-Man? Did I say, you know, this could be good?
I don't think so.
I did not.
Because you knew better?
I did know better.
Ant-Man is one of the only movies I never saw in the theaters.
Really?
Yeah, because I just knew it wasn't going to be. Why am I going to watch a movie about Man Small? Suit make Man Small.
And you know what's funny?
Right on Ant.
You know what's funny? The trailers weren't even convincing.
No.
Like.
No. The fact that you thought that there were some redeeming qualities to this movie is very funny to me.
I'm trying to think, like, okay.
Paul Rudd's in it! Mm.
I'm trying to think, like, because everyone is always like, oh, Louis is the funniest thing in the movie. And honestly, he is, but it's easy to be the funniest thing when you're the only funny thing. Exactly. Because there's too many jokes in this movie that just don't land at all. Darren Cross is a terrible villain. And, oh, so that's the first instance of Iron Man syndrome, where it's literally the same plot, even down to the villain who's the same as you, but just different.
Exactly.
This is the first time we get that, because that happens a lot
later.
Iron
Man 1 was the first one to do it, and then...
And then Ant-Man. Because the other origin stories were nothing like that. Nope. Captain America, Thor, Hulk, you couldn't do that.
Nope.
But Ant-Man, same thing. Science.
Yep.
Pym Particles with Hank Pym. But it introduces Pym Particles. It's all you really need to know.
Yeah.
That's all.
Ant-Man make things big. Ant-Man make things small.
That's it.
Ant-Man goes subatomic.
Yep. And he has an ant named Antony. And Louis is pretty funny, though.
Yeah, you know,
he was like, yo, ayo, I was with my cousin, and
I love when he recaps stories.
Me too. It's funny.
I saw a TikTok where someone was like, there should be asterisks. You know how in comic books there's like author's notes?
Uh-huh.
So they should have author's notes for Marvel movies, so then you could just click on that and then Louis recaps everything that you've missed in the movie.
Bro, that'd be so funny.
It'd be great.
I want just the whole MCU summarized by
Louis. By Louis, yes.
Like, because you know he'd go on weird tangents, so just like, and then they were in the shawarma bar, and I know that guy, I know him. It was one time me and my cousin were there.
But then they were in the shawarma bar, and I only know that because my cousin, he worked behind the shawarma bar.
He worked behind the shawarma bar, he cleaned the toilets, and literally just.
Yeah, nah, like.
Louis is the best thing in that movie.
Hands down.
Okay. And then we have Agent Carter, the second MCU TV show.
Mm.
So, I saw the first episode.
Same.
Woman power. Awesome. Daredevil was the third. Okay, but seriously, Agent Carter? Bro, this show did not need to exist.
No, it didn't.
Okay, I will say, this show has more of a right to exist than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
100%.
But Peggy Carter? So, all these side characters, and you give Peggy Carter a show?
The thing I liked about Agent Carter was that, like, the time period it was set in, and that she's a woman, and like it really pushed on that men just don't like women in the workplace like vibes. And then Peggy's always
this is after the war, right?
Yes, it was after the war. But Peggy's still trying, still make S.H.I.E.L.D. with Howard or whatever. That's cool and all. I don't remember anything else that happens though. I don't know.
Oh, you mean Jarvis the Butler?
Yeah, Jarvis. That's it. There's nothing else to talk about in Agent Carter.
Of anything?
There's nothing.
What? I have read synopsis, man.
Peggy Carter is Captain America's love interest. He dates her niece later on,
which is weird, and then goes right back to her.
Yeah,
even weirder.
Super weird. But aside from that, she makes S.H.I.E.L.D. That is literally taken over by Hydra, so what she did doesn't matter.
The show only got two seasons, and you know what the really interesting thing is? Daredevil is the third TV show related to the MCU. And Daredevil...
No, I'm not done! go on.
Okay, so Daredevil, right?
Yeah.
So, this show was awesome.
I actually like Daredevil.
Okay, Netflix's
Daredevil.
We need to hype up Daredevil real quick, because actually, though, of all the Netflix series, Daredevil's is the best.
Hands down.
Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock, that other dude is Foggy.
Yo, that's my Daredevil right
there. No, seriously, though. That's my Daredevil though.
Hands down.
I also
not
love...
my Karen Page.
Like, I don't usually... For real, though. Karen, oh my gosh.
Let's go on.
Okay, so Daredevil, right? Let's talk about all three seasons. Yeah. Okay, season one, he doesn't wear the suit till the end, which, you know, I hate when shows do that, but honestly, this one gets a pass because it's cool. The reason for the suit, it makes sense. Because, like, he's getting beaten up and stuff and, like, getting cuts and stuff. It's like, I gotta really come up with something to do better. And also, man, Charlie Cox nails the Matt Murdock, everything. Even down to, like, not looking people in the eyes when they talk to him.
Charlie Cox, he must have sat around with a bunch of blind people and, like,
something,
learned
right?
how to be blind.
Yeah. Because
he's believable. Mm-hmm. He's very believable.
Apparently, he auditioned for another role after shooting season one, and mm-hmm. he didn't get the part because they said, you never made eye contact with anybody.
Oh,
because he was so used, to not doing it. Like, that dang. Sucks. He was, he hit the ball out of the park. Like, that is how you start.
No.
Okay? Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., whatever, right? But this is how you start. Everyone was like, yo,
what episode was it with the hallway fight?
Episode two. Had no action scene until the ending. A 4-minute action scene, like, in the hallway.
If I'm going to recommend anything on this list again, I will recommend Daredevil season one from
Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of you guys have Netflix. Just go watch episode two. Watch the whole thing.
If you're not
through.
Convinced after that, I don't know what to tell
it's
you.
It's just like. The choreography for the fight. Everything. It's all in one shot, no?
It's not, but they made it look like it is.
It's just so... It's visceral. Like, you feel it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing about the Netflix Marvel shows. You felt almost every hit, you know? Stuff felt visceral. Yeah. Maybe not Iron Fist.
No, bro. Only Daredevil. Yeah. Jessica Jones, when she hits somebody because she's super strong, they just go flying. Yeah. Same with Luke Cage. Daredevil's the best because he doesn't have those superpowers. Like, he has the hearing, right? Yeah. Like, that's about it, his senses. But, like, the Lost stuff was also not boring. That's the other thing that surprised me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm actually invested in this crap. In season one, every episode ended on a cliffhanger. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like, you had to finish it, like, all in one go. It felt like a movie, really. Yeah. And that's what I think really set it apart from all the other shows, where it's like, it's just another episode.
Yeah, like, one of the things that made me hooked to Netflix Daredevil series was the Kingpin.
Oh
my
gosh!
That was one of the best representations of the Kingpin ever.
Oh my gosh!
Yo, he literally smashes a guy's head.
I remember!
With a car.
That's iconic, bro.
Until it's pulp, bro.
And he, like, loves Vanessa.
Yeah.
Yo! Daredevil was so good.
It's so good.
Daredevil was so good.
It's actually
good.
Great. It's
like,
actually
it actually is, man.
Like,
oh my gosh. Like, that's what they should have started with for 100%. TV show. And that's the thing. That sold everyone on the rest of the shows.
Yep.
Daredevil sold everyone. Yeah, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage. Like, I don't even know who Jessica Jones is.
Yeah.
We're all going to watch it, right? Okay, season two. This is where we started seeing a couple of the cracks. Because, though. And I could tell, too. I remember... Johnny asked me, what did I think of season two? And I said to him, you know, season two feels like there are two writers. There's the crime drama writer and the comic book writer.
Yeah.
Because it keeps flip-flopping between the two. Where the first one was a good balance. Honestly, it leaned more towards crime drama than it ever did to comic book. Like,
100%.
The ending is comic book, where, like, the fight with Kingpin. That's the closest we get to comic book. But the second one, it's like, oh, we need more of the comic book. So let's have Daredevil with his billy clubs and, like, grappling hook and stuff like that. And he gets the grappling hook at the end. Is this the season with Punisher? It is.
Season
right?
two is when Punisher first appears.
And
yes.
Elektra.
Elektra shows up.
Yeah.
And
the foot ninjas, the hand.
Yeah, that one.
No.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, Ninja Turtles and Daredevil in the same universe. I know. So the foot. That's so funny to me. The foot. Okay.
Sorry.
So,
the head. Yeah.
No. Why correct it? Whatever. The foot. They're the same.
You're right. The foot. Master Shredder and all of them. Yeah.
All of them. Yo, Master Shredder, when he showed up in Daredevil.
Bro,
again.
It was anyway. Crazy.
Okay, so Daredevil fights Punisher in the first episode. He gets shot in the face.
Oh, yeah, he does, doesn't he?
And it's like, it's a good thing he has that armor. But what I love, the only reason Daredevil gets shot in the face is because there were so many complaints about his mask. So they made a new one. Did you know that?
I did not know
that. That's why that happens.
What the heck?
And what I love, too, Daredevil gets shot in the face at the end of episode one. And then at the beginning of episode two, Foggy's looking for Matt. And he's like, Matt, where are you? And he climbs a building and everything. And it's broad. So it was at nighttime that happened. And it's broad daylight now. And Foggy finds Matt just lying there, just knocked out, man.
Family Guy and down, arm behind the back.
It's just like, yo... This man has seen better days.
Yeah. Nah. I like the introduction of Punisher and Daredevil.
Yeah.
Daredevil season two was it definitely messy, but it was still good.
Oh yeah. It was still good.
Yeah. Was it season three?
Season three was with Bullseye. Okay, I'm gonna be real with you. Season three, every scene where they weren't where they didn't have Bullseye on screen, I was fast forwarding. Like I don't mean I skipped. I mean it was on like speed, like, you know, just a little faster, because drama in season 3 really sat well. Oh wait, hang on, let's go back to season 2. Elektra sucks. Oh my gosh, I had so many arguments with like fanboys who were like, Elektra's so cool and she's so empowering. I'm like, Elektra loses every fight she's in by herself. Mm. She needs a strong man to help her in her fights. This so-called empowering character, Elektra Nachos. And also her costume sucks. Put her in red, darn it.
Yeah, why
just red? Why is she wearing black? Put her in red.
What do they call her?
Elektra.
No, when they resurrect.
No.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're right. I'm Defenders. Sorry. Yeah. But Daredevil season 3, Bullseye. He he's like kind of this psycho, like he works for a suicide hotline and he tells the person to kill themselves. Like, that's his introduction.
Yeah. He's weird.
He is weird. And I love
he falls in love with some girl at the pizza store, but he never actually goes to talk to her.
Yeah. He gets like creepily obsessed.
It's really interesting.
Okay. Yeah, Bullseye's weird. One thing I loved about this season, though, and I know a lot of people hated this, Bullseye gets Daredevil's costume. So that he can frame.
Yeah.
That was so sick. But what I love is that in his mind, he believes he's Daredevil. I'm like, that's so cool. That was cool. Because that's never, like, Bullseye has worn his costume.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, it was more to mock him. Because in the comics, Bullseye has an actual vendetta against Daredevil. Like, it's real. It's not because these people hardly know each other in the show. But I loved that. And I loved his introduction in the Daredevil costume when he comes out, the music and everything. The whole setting leading up to that was really good, okay? And then they fight in that office. And that fight was so good.
Oh, my God.
Like, dude, I remember always joking, like, how are they going to make Bullseye interesting?
Yeah.
Bullseye. That fight scene was like, okay, they know what they're doing.
Daredevil using his sound only.
Yep.
Legitimately only, because if he moves,
uh-huh,
Bullseye will throw something, mm-hmm, and it will hit its target.
I love when Matt, he hasn't stuck his head out yet. He's just kind of listening around the corner, and Bullseye walks to the corner. The way it's shot is really good, too. You see Bullseye out in the distance, and he picks something up, and he chucks it against the wall, and it bounces off the wall and hits Matt.
It hits in the face.
Oh my gosh!
Even when you think Matt Murdock is safe, you know, like he's using his senses. Nah, he is literally in like the worst ways. Yeah.
Yo, and season K. Honestly, like, I think season 3 is really good. Even the finale. Let me tell you right now, like, my heart was pumping at the end of season 3, because do you remember how it ends?
No.
Really? Oh my gosh. Okay. So he fights Bullseye, right? In his old Daredevil costume, the black one.
Yeah.
And he beats Bullseye by literally picking him up and like rushing him against the wall and cracking his back. I think that's what Daredevil does. Or like Kingpin does it. It's like a three-way battle. Because Kingpin's there. Yeah, that's what happens there. But then what I love is after Bullseye's knocked out, which is like, I'm glad they did that. I'm sure they realized. Like, let these two fight it out, right? Daredevil and Kingpin. And what gets me, he beats up the Kingpin, right? And then the Kingpin's like, well, you know you have to kill me, right? If you send me to prison, right? And then Matt's like, no, I'm not going to kill you, right? You're going to rot in prison for the rest of your life. I'll do whatever it takes to make sure Vanessa can never see you again. And he's like, and all of New York, all of Hell's Kitchen will know. And Matt takes off his mask,
He shows him his
looks
face.
Him in the eyes. The blind man looks him in the eyes and says, I won. I was just like, that was it for me. I'm like,
yeah, nah.
You're done. Season 3, we're done. No more seasons.
Yeah.
You can't top that. Daredevil exposing himself.
Yeah, no.
Done with this secret identity nonsense. I won.
You see, because, like, that's the thing. Daredevil is one of those comic book characters that a lot of people don't really know a lot about because, like, he's just Daredevil.
They know his powers. That's it.
He's
super
like,
blind.
when you read Daredevil's stories, they're actually some of the most interesting Marvel comics. Hands down.
You have to make him interesting.
Daredevil has slept with Natasha.
Oh, yeah. That's
all true. The females in the MCU or in the comics.
Yeah, he gets around.
He gets around. There's a point Karen gets AIDS or some whatever.
In the comics?
Yeah.
What?
Yes. Are you serious? I'm dead serious. Bro, the comics are insane. He becomes the Kingpin at one point.
I knew that one.
He leads the Yakuza at some point in time.
No, I know when he becomes a crime boss. I know that comic. But
Daredevil is nuts.
Yeah,
and
seriously.
I think that the Netflix show was the most accurate representation of Daredevil. Totally. Or at least the Michael, whatever, the run of comics. It was like the...
Mark Miller? Or
Bendis? Michael Bendis?
I don't know.
But it was the early 2000s, late 90s Daredevil. That was the best Daredevil. Marvel Knights Daredevil.
Right, okay.
Because that's when Marvel was edgy. Very, very edgy. And
so they didn't have to hold back with Daredevil?
Yeah, no, they gave Karen AIDS.
Oh my goodness.
Like...
Oh my goodness. Okay, so... 2015. We're still in 2015.
We got still shows to do.
Yep. Jessica Jones. Okay, so...
Purple Man.
Oh, he wasn't even purple. Nope. Man, I feel like Jessica Jones was the if Daredevil was the beginning of like doing everything right, Jessica Jones was the beginning of everything wrong. Things wrong. Because first of all, you got Nuke. He doesn't have a face tattoo. He takes pills. Yeah. Remember? And then you have Hellcat, but she doesn't wear the costume.
Never.
And then you have Jewel. It was Jessica Jones.
Yes.
She never wears a costume.
Never.
And then you have, who's the Purple Man? And he's never purple.
Never purple.
And the whole show is about Jessica, who's this girl.
Ex-superhero.
Yeah. Ex-superhero who's become a detective, and she, like, spies on, like, broken marriages and stuff like that. And then she, like, takes it up the rear end with Luke Cage, her black boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, a feminist power fantasy, which, whatever. I don't mind. If it's done well... Which this show is not. No. it can be fine. Because another thing to notice about this, women are always in the dominant position for every sex scene is another interesting thing about the first season.
Oh, they're always riding?
Okay, right? And it's all about, you know, consent, which is like Purple Man, like, potentially may have, you know, abused Jessica. Yeah. And then you discover the dumbest thing about this whole thing is just because, like, I'm not going to kill anybody. I'm not going to do it, right? Because I'm a pacifist. Right, and there's one episode, like episode 7, which is my favorite episode of that whole season, of that whole show,
yeah.
Where she sits with Purple Man and like tries to help him, make him do good things. And it's like, hey, let's stop this bad guy. And then they stop him. And then he's like, hey, wow, that felt good. I'm glad we stopped him. Okay, now I'm going to make him kill himself.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no, don't do that. That's not what heroes do. He's like, why not? This guy's terrible. If he dies, no one will care. And then Jessica's like, oh, you're a bad person. I was wrong about you. And I was like, hold up. Jessica, he doesn't know better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. He flat out believes that that's okay. Like, that's what's right. And it's like, oh, but Jessica doesn't even try after that. She's like, I'm going to kill him. Right. And then one scene I thought was kind of cool was at the end of episode 13. They play the song Demons by Sleigh Bells while Jessica walks into a church to face her demons. But then it turns out that it's Trish, not Jessica. So Jessica's not facing her demons. And I thought, like, that's really good. That's good writing as far as musical and connecting everything.
Yeah.
But the reason why Jessica's able to fight Purple Man is because, as we discovered, Jessica could always resist him.
Just because she wanted to.
Jessica could always resist him. So this whole series, all of her trauma was from nothing?
Hey, man.
That's the weirdest revelation in that show. Because I'm like, how is she going to beat a guy who can mind control her? Oh, simple. She just won't get mind control.
Yeah, she just won't do it.
Why? Because she never was? Wait, really? Wait, what?
You know, see, that implies that she wanted to do all
to kill Luke Cage's
things.
Wife.
You know?
Remember like, that?
Yeah. That implies that she's a horrible person.
Yeah. Real talk, though, Jessica is a horrible person.
Oh, yes. No.
Like, so much of what she does. And, like, it's funny, because in season one, I'm more forgiving for some of the stuff, but then the show keeps going, and it's like, I don't like this character.
Yeah, the only character I kind of liked in Jessica Jones was her roommate, or the guy that...
Power Rangers RPM guy?
That's it, yeah. Yeah. What was his name?
In the show?
Yeah.
Malcolm?
Miles?
Something like that.
Maverick?
Start with an M, right?
Mitchell.
Season 2, didn't watch it. Did you?
I did. I don't remember it.
Season 3, I saw that one a little bit.
There was a third season of Jessica Jones?
Oh, isn't that the one where Hellcat starts getting addicted to drugs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like Jessica meets her mom or something?
Yeah, and her mom has powers, and then she kills her mom on the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, stupidness.
Yeah! Bro, Jessica Jones season 2 and 3 are so forgettable.
Jessica Jones is so forgettable. Nah, Purple Man's the most memorable thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I can remember stuff from season 1 of Jessica Jones.
Why did
they
give Jessica Jones her own show? Who thought that was a good idea? Like, there's so many... You got a whole encyclopedia of superheroes, and you give Jessica Jones... Anyway. Don't forget to comment down below! Junior and Marcus!